know. There was a guy by the name of Noah. And Noah lived at a time when God had created the earth and sent men forth, and they had multiplied, and there's you know, just people everywhere. And the Bible tells us that the days of Noah, men just grew increasingly evil. And there was just trouble everywhere. There was just evil. So in fact, the Bible says it repented God that he had made man. Now, I'm not going to deal with the theology about that this morning, but I'm just telling you, it was a bad time on planet Earth. And God is working his plan. Now, remember, God is God, and what God is going to do, man can't interrupt. It's just, you know, man can struggle against it, man can resist it, man can do his best to delay it, but what God plans to do, God's going to do. So God had already laid out a plan of how he was going to save man, and yet there comes a time when humanity is so evil, God's going to wipe out man. The Bible says something in Genesis that's very significant. It says, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And so God comes to Noah, and Noah lives in this area where it's dry, and they're out kind of in the middle of nowhere. The last thing you would expect somebody to do in this area is build a boat. And God says, Noah, build a boat, an ark. And God tells Noah exactly how to build the ark. And Noah, being a man of faith, Noah, having found grace in the eyes of God, did exactly what God told Noah to do. Amen. Well, time rocks on. Some scholars have said 120 years, and some say they're not sure about that. I don't know. But some time goes. It takes Noah a while to build this boat because it's a big boat. And then God says to Noah, get all of the animals, one of each, male, female, get a pair from each of the animals and bring them into the ark, and you and your sons, your daughters get in the ark, and he gets them in the ark, closes the door, God closes the door, and it starts raining. And it rains, and it rains, and it rains, and floodwaters cover the whole earth, and every living creature on earth dies, except for those in the boat. Don't you imagine that there were some people, as those floodwaters were rising and they were climbing up the hills as high as they could go and the waters kept coming up and the rain still falling down, don't you imagine that some of them had wished that they had somehow gotten an invitation to be on that boat? Don't you imagine that as some of them are treading water as long as they can and just trying to survive, and life is slowly slipping away from them, and they realize that all that fun and all the times they've made fun of Noah and mocked and laughed and called him a fool for doing what he was doing and all that stuff, don't you imagine that some of those people really wished that they had gotten on board that boat before it drifted off in the floodwaters? I want to talk to you this morning and kind of revisit to what God put in my heart a year ago when he brought us here. And I want to tell you what a few of my friends, not many, but what a few of my friends have said. You're crazy. Some have said you're too old. Some have said you don't have what it takes. Some have said some other things. And some of you probably thought that as well. But I just want to tell you, here's what God laid in my heart a year ago. Come, let us build. And there are four things that God put in my heart that we're to build. We're to build faith. And faith is more than just an evangelism strategy. Faith is we're to help people grow in their relationship with Christ. We're to build faith. We're to build our own faith. We're to trust God more today than we did yesterday and more tomorrow than we do today if the Lord tarries. So we're to build faith. We're to build leaders. That's nothing more than disciples. What disciples are people who follow a teacher. And so if they're going to follow someone, there's got to be someone to follow, and that's Christ. We all follow Christ, but the way we get them to do is, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then when the time comes, he's able to turn to Timothy and say, okay, Timothy, my day is done. Now, your turn. Preach the word. What he was saying to Timothy is, that which I've committed to you, that which you learned from me, as I have led you, lead others. Commit it to them. So we're to build faith. We're to build leaders. And we're to build ministries. Now, I know that when we talked about that a year ago, we talked about some ideas of ministries, and we talked about how God is doing some of the ministries that God was working already, and God's doing his thing, and he's already progressing forward in his work, and so we've got some ministries. For instance, this church now hosts something called Senior Day Out on Tuesdays. We started that sort of testing the waters. God's put in somebody's heart that we needed to host an event for community, so seniors in the community, and so we weren't quite sure how that would work out. In fact, we struggled a little bit with that in the beginning, but we decided we would do that. We just make our facilities available and invite the community to come and have a time of sharing together and playing some games. It's not our thing. That's a community thing. We just happen to have the building and are providing that to them. But they're doing it all. They're cooking the meal and they're, you know, providing for themselves, and they're doing their games, and they're doing all that. Some of our folks are participating, but that's a good deal. And that was a start. God put in my heart a year ago a little thing called Celebrate Recovery. What you don't know, maybe, that I knew before I came here, because I took the time to check before I said yes to God. We live in a pocket of addiction. We live in an area of our county and our state. We live in an area where what looks like a beautiful place, a great lake, a beautiful place for people to come in the summer, and our congregation will swell in the summer, and churches around will swell in the summer. Well, not much, because it'll be primarily on the lake that the population swells. But some of it, we'll pick up some people in the summer and whatnot, just because it's a great place to be, and it all looks good. But there are hurting people all around us. There are people who are on hard stuff. Methamphetamines, crystal. They're on the hard stuff. There are people who are on legal stuff. They're buying pills and medicine by the droves, and they're doing the same thing the drug addict shooting up with heroin or sniffing the cocaine or whatever. They're doing the same thing. They're just doing it out of a bottle or out of something in their hands. And so God put a ministry in my heart a year ago, Celebrate Recovery. And so we've been kind of dropping that hint along. I've been sort of waiting for God to do His thing and get that started. And that's not something you start overnight. It's not something you sort of take a tentative step at. You either get into that or you don't mess with it, because it's serious stuff. In fact, one of the reasons Brother Anthony is teaching spiritual warfare on Sunday nights right now. By the way, if you don't normally come on Sunday nights, you don't have no idea what you're missing. The introductory lesson last week was so exciting. Somebody sent me an email this week and said, "Man, I can't stop listening to this message." That was just the introduction. It's just getting started. And so if you haven't been coming on Sunday nights, you want to come and hear the teaching, the biblical basis of spiritual warfare. You want to come and hear that. And so we just would encourage you to come and be a part of the Sunday evening service. Starts at 6:30. But I've been kind of dropping hints about Celebrate Recovery, and so I've been waiting for God to move in that. And here's what happened. I don't get involved in the men's breakfast that much. I just try to show up and eat with them. But the men's breakfast happened, you know, and the men's breakfast this morning. And I actually thought we had another speaker coming this morning. I thought one of our own was going to be sharing his testimony, and so I was kind of looking forward to that. And I came, you know, and he wasn't even here when I got here. And I was like, well, I guess I missed that. And then Leroy shows up, and right behind him comes the guy who happens to head up Celebrate Recovery over on the other side of the river. Been doing it now for, I don't know, about 3 years or so. He's a recovered, clean addict who's now pastoring one of our churches. And guess what he talked about this morning? His story and Celebrate Recovery. And I just sat there in awe. I was like, wow. Because I took one of our men on a trip. We went on a mission trip together, and for 3 days, I poured into this man idea after idea after idea. Hey, Celebrate Recovery is a good thing. We actually went to a Celebrate Recovery open meeting, and I thought, well, that'll generate some enthusiasm and get to see a little bit of what it's about, and surely you'll go back, and that'll be the spark, and Celebrate Recovery will happen. It didn't happen. Kind of helping me plant a little seed here and there, but it wasn't happening. But it just so happens that today, of all days, God orchestrates the leader of Celebrate Recovery to come speak to our men, and he's up there sharing, and he's talking about Celebrate Recovery and what all it means, and I just watched. And when he finished and asked for questions, our men started asking questions, and then when they finished and closed with prayer, several of our men, four or five of our men, were gathered around. They were still asking him questions. We kind of had to encourage him to leave when it was time for Sunday school, because we didn't have to encourage him to leave. He just did that on his own. But what I'm saying to you is God is doing His work. God is at work. He's doing what He plans to do. The waters are rising. We're called to build. He said, come, let us build faith. Let us build leaders. Let us build ministries. And so there are going to be other ministries starting. And I believe, I'm fully convinced, God's going to build Celebrate Recovery right here in, well, maybe not right here in this building, but yeah, certainly in that building. And God's going to build that. He's going to do that. And then we're called to build facilities, and that's pretty evident. That's happening right outside. So I'm going to revisit that with you, but notice the title of the message today is Come Let Us Build, and then in parentheses, these letters, RSVP. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. That's what that means. That's the French for answer if you please, reply if you please. And we all, I guess, grew up knowing, you know, RSVP means you need to send a response back if you're going. Somebody sends you an invitation, you need to send a response back. But that's what RSVP means. And so today I want you to focus not just on the Come Let Us Build. I'm going to rehash that for you a little bit. But I want you to focus on the RSVP. Because here's my concern. Here's why I think God really moved in my heart and stirred me. And I see it in so many ways. He gave Anthony music today that fit. He couldn't have, if I'd said, look, here's what I'd really like for you to sing today, he couldn't have picked better songs. My faith still holds. Hey, I know we're engaged right now in a struggle. This is about probably the smallest crowd, if not the smallest, is probably one of the smallest crowds we've had since I've been here. We got a bunch of sick folks. Still got a good crowd, but we got a bunch of sick folks. We got some folks that are not happy, and they're going to go find some other place to be. That's okay. Because you know what? There weren't a whole bunch of people on that ark when Noah built it. But the people who were on the ark were glad they were on the ark when the waters came. Let me tell you something. When God does what he is doing here, the people who are with God in his work will be really glad they're with him. And those who aren't will wish they would have been. So, respond, if you please, before this message is over. Come, let us build. I want to just start by reminding you that the first thing that God did, and last time we looked at this message and we looked at the story of Nehemiah about how Nehemiah was led of God to come back and build up the walls of Jerusalem, and Nehemiah chapter 2, the latter part of verse 17 says, come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, and come, let us build. That's kind of the launch point for the text. I just want to take you quickly back through some of that. First was that invitation, come. Here's one of the things that I'm so concerned that some of you, some of the core group of people who God used to begin this work, I'm concerned that you don't miss this. This is not your work. You are not the people who pulled out of another church to start this church. I know, you did that. But that's not your identity in Christ. God was doing something, and in order to get somebody to respond, listen, North American Mission Board, State Board of Missions, and others already knew they needed a church right here. God wanted a church right here in this place. That was already a known fact. They just needed some people to do it. So guess what? God used you to get it started. And so you're here not as a group who pulled out of a church. You're here as a group of people that God brought together to start something that he's doing. And he's invited you to come join him. Let me look at that word come with you because it's the greatest invitation you will ever receive. It's better than being invited to a Christmas party or New Year's Eve party. It's better than being, you know, offered to take a promotion or a new assignment. It's better than any invitation you will ever get. It's even better than Ms. Wright, if you're a man, or Mr. Wright, if you're a woman, inviting you to marry him. It's even better than that. The best invitation you'll ever get when God says, come join me in what I'm doing. Come join me in what I'm doing. And that's what happened. God is saying to you and to me, when God put this vision in my heart, He wasn't giving me something to go out and recruit people to join this church. What God was saying is, look, I'm doing something. And I'm giving you, preacher, an opportunity to be a part of it. And so against the wisdom of some of my friends and with the support of some others, I decided, okay, God, I'm going to join you in what you're doing. So I'm here. We sold a house we were perfectly happy with in a neighborhood we were really happy with, right down from a church that I really thought I was going to pastor, and came here. And our life savings is in this thing. So we're committed. Are you? Now, how committed are you to join God in his work? Let me just tell you a couple things about that invitation real quick. First of all, God says come to him because we all need to come to him, and we need to be reborn. We need to come to him for redemption. We need to be brought into right relationship with him. We can't even relate to God except he first invites us. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah says to the lost people, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white, pure and white. We need to come to God for redemption. And if you're here today and you have any idea in your head that your righteousness, that who you are, that you're going to heaven because you're a member of a church, because you're a Baptist, because you're an Assembly of God, because you're a Church of God, because you're whatever, if you have any notion that that's why you're going to heaven, let me tell you, you're sadly mistaken. There's only one way that you get into the boat that is the ark of safety and salvation in God, and that's when he says, come. Join me in what I am doing. Because the Bible's pretty plain. The Bible says that God has made the one who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's God's work. That's what God does. God does the saving. We do the believing. We respond to God in faith and we trust God and we put our faith and our hope in him. But it's God who saves us. Let me make this perfectly clear for you. You can have your faith in God. You can say, man, I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. And when you get to the judgment bar, God could say, you know what? I know you believed all these years, but I'm going to wipe your name out of the book of life. What are you going to do? Say, hey, whoa, God, you can't do that. He's God. He could do that. He won't. He's gone on record already saying this, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And God is not a man that he should lie. I just want you to understand, he's in charge. And so God draws us. He invites us to come. That's the very first step. If you've never accepted him or if you've never realized, hey, look, I know I'm lost. I have no hope apart from God, but God has invited me, really? Me? With my mess? With my baggage? With my history? With my past? Yes. God said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. We need to come to God for redemption. Secondly, there are a number of you here today who need to hear this one. We need to come to God for rest. We need to come to God for rest. Now, I'm not talking about sit down on your laurels and rest from doing anything ever again. I'm talking about for just coming to that place where you say, man, I sure am glad I got to take a break for a minute. I'm talking about where you turn things over to him and stop worrying about them. I'm talking about where you give things to him, and instead of when something happens, you say, oh my goodness, what's going to happen now? You say, can't wait to see how God works this one out. Wouldn't it be neat to come to that place where you have a peace that passes understanding, so the doctor says, hey, I got bad news for you, you're going to die, and you say, okay, what else is new? I mean, you already know that, right? You're going to die. If you're born, you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. So when the doctor tells you you're going to die, don't panic. He's not telling you anything you shouldn't already have known. Thing you don't know is when. Here's a clue. He doesn't either. The doctor may say you're going to die in the next 6 months, and 6 years from now, he may still be saying you're going to die in the next 6 months. On the other hand, the doctor may say you have a clean bill of health and you die of a heart attack on the way to your car. He just doesn't know. That's up to God. So we come to God not just for redemption, but we can come to him for rest. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can come and find rest in him, even when we're working, even when the load gets heavy. And I got to tell you, it's been heavy at times. It's going to get heavier. It's going to get heavier. If we engage in what God has for us to do, there will be challenges unlike any you have ever experienced in life when you walk with God. The good news is you don't get to just come to God for redemption. You get to come to God for rest. And when the burden gets heavy, guess what? You get to give the burden to him. And you get to rest in Christ. We need to come to God for redemption. We need to come to God for rest. One more thing. We need to come to God for refocus. To get our minds in the right direction. this is not our work. It's not my ministry. It's not your ministry. It's not your work. It's God's work. And so if you've laid hand on it, if you've said, you know, hey, that this is my church, this is my, let go of it. Far better that you should let go of it than you have to get God to take it away from you. Just let Him have it. It's His church. It's His work. It's His ministry. When I get those down moments, and, you know, sometimes every Monday is a day of resignation for pastors. We go through Sunday, and then we get to Monday. We say, I think I'll quit today. But sometimes when I get to those, the thing that helps me the most is I remember this. It's not my ministry. It's His. And so in the same way that God had Noah build an ark, God's going to get the ark built. Listen, if Noah had not done what God wanted him to do, God would have built a boat anyway. I don't know how, but He'd have built it. Could have just spoken it into existence. That's how He did the rest of creation. But He gave Noah the opportunity to participate, and Noah did what God called him to do, and the result was a blessing. And so what you and I have to do is we got to refocus and realize it's God's work. That when God said, come let us, that isn't us saying, hey, God, we're going to go do this. Come over here and help us do this. No. It's God doing what He wants to do. So when I said to you a couple of weeks ago that the church that God is building is probably not going to look like the church you thought it was going to look like, I don't know about the floor plan out there, but I'm talking about the church, the activities of the church. It's probably not going to be what you look like. I'm struggling with this right now. I'm struggling with what I think God is leading us to do. I'm seeing some things happening in this body of believers, and I'm like, that's not the way I've always done it, God. And God's saying, do you trust me now? Because that's what I always say to other people. You know, when I'm counseling with them, it's real easy. When I'm sitting in my chair as a pastor and someone's sitting across the seat from me saying, hey, this is not the way I had envisioned it. This is not what I thought God was going to do in my life. And I say, can you trust Him now? And so now I'm looking at what God is doing, and I'm starting to see things take shape as God is working. And I see even today with the Celebrate Recovery guy coming and all the other stuff that God's doing, I'm like, wow, okay, God. And I hear that same voice, God coming back to me saying, can you trust me now? Remember, it's His work, not ours. Come, the greatest invitation you'll ever receive. The second thing that we had in this vision statement a year ago, the vision that God laid in my heart, the mission that God's given us to do, come, let us. That's the means by which we're going to do this. I can't do it. You can't do it. We together can't do it without Him. That's why the first part, He invites us to come join Him. Let us. That's team ministry. That's together everyone achieves more. Let me just walk you through a couple of things I want to tell you about that. Doing it together is the best way to do things because that's the way God planned to do it. God planned to use the church to make Himself known in the latter days. When Jesus came, He came to this earth to save sinners. And do you know how He did that? He came to make the Father known. He revealed God to us. We see God in Christ. And so Christ then, remember what He said in John chapter 20, I believe it's verse 21, He says, my Father sent me, so I send you. Guess what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to make God known to those around us. And so when the world looks at us, what they see is their image of the God that we're trying to announce to them. When they see us, our actions. So I'm going to tell you what I told the church a number of years ago, and I've told churches every time I've pastored them, I hope that spider's not poisonous. I want to tell you what this. We can go and knock on the door and go through the faith evangelism strategy. We can go and knock on the door and use the four spiritual laws, or we can go down the Roman road. We can do those things. But let me tell you the loudest statement that we will make to those who live and work and are in our area. The parking lots at church time. The loudest statement we will make for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the parking lots at church time. Because everybody that lives around us knows. They see it on the church sign all the time. They know when we have church, and they see a few cars gather in our parking lot every now and then. So they know when we have church, and it's just kind of a thing. And here's what a lot of them do. The hunters and the fishers and the lake goers and all the other things that drive by the church at church time, and they look at our parking lot and they see, you know, a parking lot that's half full or one-third full or whatever it is, and they see and they say, yep, nothing going on there. Same God's everywhere else. Nothing happening. When God does His work and a marriage is saved, when God does His work and a drug addict is recovered. I mean set free. I mean fully cleaned. I mean released forever. When a broken life is mended, and when those things start happening, and people who are impacted begin to come and worship the Lord who does that work, when we begin to gather in mass in numbers because we can't wait to see what God is going to do next, when we are so excited about the Lord that we serve and we trust Him so much that we're just absolutely convinced if we'll bring a total stranger who may have addictions we don't even know about, but if we'll just bring them to God's house, the Spirit of the Lord will work in that person's life and they will be so changed supernaturally, we won't want to miss it, and we'll show up every service as best we can and we'll fill this place up with people. When that begins to happen, it will make a louder statement than anything else that we do. Because people will drive by and they'll see the parking lot with you know, no room to park. And they'll say, wow, I wonder who they got there today. And the next time they catch one of you in the marketplace out there, they say, hey, who was at your church last Sunday? I saw you had a really big crowd. And you'll smile and say, nah, just another day at God's house. Jesus was there. Might want to come sometime. Really? You didn't have a special speaker? No band? No musicians? Just y'all? Yeah. But Jesus was there. He shows up every time we get together. You ought to come sometime. Together. Team. You matter. You count. Come, let us. I want to just tell you, that was God's method. Do you remember when He was creating man in Genesis? If you haven't read the creation story, go back, and here's what, when God's going to make His crowning achievement, when He does everything else. I mean, light, what a wonder light is. I better not do that. I did this one time in a church, first church down the road. I said, you can Google that when you go home, and a bunch of them pulled out their phones and started Googling it right then, so I better not say that anymore. But anyway, if you've never studied light, you ought to do it sometime. It just makes an interesting study if you have any interest in those kind of things. But here's the deal. When God was doing all that creation stuff, when He created the stars and the moon, and when He created heaven and earth, when He created light, when He created all those things, you know, God just said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. And then He filled the heavens and the earth with all the waters and divided them and did all that stuff. He did all that stuff. But when He comes to us, His crowning achievement, you remember what He said? Let us. Let us. Let us make man in our image. The reason He did that is because the best way to get something done, when you really want to do something that shines, when you want to take it to the highest extent, the best way to do it is with a team. And so God said, let us make man in our image. It's the same method Jesus used with His disciples. For instance, in Mark chapter 4, there's that story about them, and they're going to go over to the other side of the lake. Remember, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 26, Jesus does some things, and He gets with His disciples. He says, let's go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. He was always doing things together with His disciples. He was always engaging them in the work, inviting them to join Him. And so the method of doing things as a team is the method of unity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 says this, for He Himself, that's Jesus Christ, is our peace. He has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, making peace, and that He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He made us a team. Jews, Gentile, slave, free, master, worker, it doesn't matter. We are one in Him. We're on the same team in Christ. So let us come. Let us join God in what He's doing. Last thing I want to share with you today is that action word, build. Come, let us build. The best objective is always to build up, not to tear down. The best objective is always to build up. God was building human beings when He said in Genesis chapter 1, 26, let us make man in our image. He was building. He was creating man in His image. He was building. Nehemiah, in our original text, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17b, He was in the process of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the church is called to build up, encourage one another, and build up one another, just as you are doing 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. But I want to end today with a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The purpose for which God gives gifts. Let me tell you why God gave us a strategy here in this church of come, let us build. Because God wants to edify. He wants to build up. He wants to edify. That word edify is to build up, to grow, to enhance. And God wants to do that. In the days of Noah, evil prevailed. Everywhere around, things were evil. Did you know that the Bible tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the coming of Christ. That's the day we live in. Evil is everywhere. Evil abounds all around us. There's sin and wickedness and broken homes and ruined lives and all that stuff is all around us. And God wants to build up. So there are churches. And I thank God for every church. You know, there's a need for churches. If God has sustained a church all these years, there's got to be a reason that He's got that church there. But for every new church, there is a purpose. And our purpose is to build, to edify, to lift up. Let me give you Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. I've chosen today to read the English Standard Version because it uses the word build instead of edify. But let me just read this for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. The purpose of God's gifts is to build up. I want you to think back with me a year ago on a Sunday morning, last Sunday in January, we had our first big day in this church. We had 106. One count said 109. I think the actual number was 106. 106 people in this church. We haven't had over 100 since. Do you know why that is? I don't either. I can tell you this. The purpose of God's gifts is to build up. The purpose of God's gifts is to build up. Now, I'm going to close this illustration. I managed to go deer hunting last week of September. Spent my anniversary with my brothers instead of my wife. Killed a deer. 27 points. You know, I didn't take out a newspaper ad. I haven't posted a blog or a Facebook. I haven't really done anything actively to share that story. But do you know what's happening right now, even today? People are coming to me and saying, "Hey, I hear you killed another deer. How's that happening?" I'll tell you how it's happening. Somebody heard me or one of my brothers mention that I killed a deer that had 27 points, and they told somebody else, and they told somebody else, and they told somebody else, because they're excited about a dead deer. I'm talking about a living Lord. I'm talking about a risen Savior. I'm talking about the one who gave His life for you and me, who died for our sins so that we, sinners, might be made saints in the sight of God. I'm talking about the Son of God who came in the flesh for you and me, and nobody's excited about it. I've gone to the drug center down here where they do the drug deals, and I've gone to the other store, and I've gone over there, and I've gone to different places, and I've sat down with people, and I've said, What do you know about our church? Oh, I know. You're the guys that pulled out of Lake Martin. Really? That's what you know about us? Let me tell you about us. Friend, I got to tell you this morning, if we're going to do God's work, if we're going to join God in what He's doing, we better get excited about what God has invited us to do. Let me close this way. God is going to build faith. He's going to touch some lives. You don't want your child to be the one that gets missed because you didn't get God first. You want to be the one that has enough of God that your child will catch some of that. God's going to build faith. God's going to build leaders. Out of this group of people that God has brought together and out of the people that He is adding into this group, there are going to be some disciple-making disciples. There are going to be some people that are doing, by the way, one of our newest members is doing it already. They've got a small group going in their home. That's just a start. That's just the beginning. God's going to do that. There's going to be small groups everywhere where God is working in homes, not in churches, but in homes. God is going to work in people gathering, and neighbors are going to come because they're going to say, hey, I notice every week you have this little group over there. What's going on? And you'll be able to say, come on over and see. And when Jesus shows up, those neighbors are going to get Jesus because we get excited about what God is doing. We get excited about Jesus. My thought was last year when we shared the vision, people go out and you'd be telling folks about Club 20 and people would be calling the church saying, hey, how do I get in that club? What's that Club 20 thing? Nobody's heard about it. God's going to do His work the same way that boat floated. Here's the punchline, RSVP. Répondez, that means answer. S'il vous plaît, if you please. God's speaking to you today. What's your part? Would you bow your heads? God, I've done all I know to do today to share again the vision that You have placed in my heart, that You're doing a work here. God, You are at work. You brought together a group of people. You held them together through serious circumstances. You kept them going. You provided them land. God, You gave them buildings. You just showed them in so many ways that You're doing Your work. Let us not miss the fact that it is You who are at work, and it is You who have invited us to join You in Your work. And God, I pray this morning that here in this sanctuary, someone has heard You. Someone has heard You this morning saying, come. Come to Me for redemption. Come to Me for rest. Come to Me for refocus. Someone this morning has heard You saying, let us. And they've realized that instead of them inviting You to be a part of their life, it's You inviting them to be a part of Your work. And God, I pray that You would help us today realize that You are calling us to build, to encourage, to touch lives with Jesus in such a way that they are transformed forever by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ. God, would You now help us respond? Lord, if You're speaking to one's heart this morning that they want to be a part, that they want to commit to Club 20, that they want to commit to building, Father, I pray that You would help them to do what You lead them to do, whether that's joining this church or whether it's just recommitting, renewing their life, whether it's fully surrendering to You for the very first time. God, would You do it right now in Jesus' name? Amen. God bless you.